Well, desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I'd like for us to look at an account that we find in the book of St. John. We know that John doesn't refer to himself by name in his gospel. He only refers to himself as the one who leaned on Christ's breast. And we know that it seems like the level of attachment, the emotion that John felt, John is referred to in some situations or by some as John the Beloved, very close relationship with Christ. He was an eyewitness of Christ's ministry, so I believe that what he said is things that we can take for granted. I believe it's accurate. And of course, we're relying on the accuracy of our translation too. In the 8th chapter of St. John, I believe this is where I want to be. Yes. And in the 8th chapter of St. John, we have the account of Jesus went up unto the Mount of Olives. And first verse, second verse says, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." And so we find Jesus ministering to individuals in the temple, and we find that through the course of the 8th chapter, John's interaction with the people was one of compassion and instruction. And he also met some confrontations. The story of the woman brought, to him that would have been caught in adultery was brought to him in this chapter. That account is there. And there was some conflict in confrontation with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a major component in Judaism at that time. They were by largest majority of Jews of that sect. And we find here that there seems to be some real staunch confrontations between Christ and the Pharisees. And it came down to the end of the chapter. I'll begin reading maybe in verse 52. "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself?" What are you trying to make yourself out to be? That's what the Pharisees was saying. And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar. I shall be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was." So, some back and forth here, some real confrontation. And it says, "They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." So, I don't know how all of your personalities are, but I think I know most of you somewhat well. And I would venture to say that we have varying degrees of dislike for confrontation. I would doubt that any of us here say, oh yeah, I'm just looking for an opportunity to go toe to toe with somebody, something, just like arguing and bickering and putting my life on the line. Jesus was putting his life on the line. Because when he told them, they said, you're not even 50 years old. Abraham's been gone for centuries. What are you trying to tell us here? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was. And they lived in a time when, you know, this was awful for a man to make that kind of claim. And they were ready to stone him. So how would you feel if you escaped death like that? Would you feel very confident? Would you feel very secure? Would you feel stable? Would you feel like you were all refreshed and ready to do something? I know how I would feel. I would feel exhausted. I would feel like I need a little safe haven. I need just a little space to kind of unwind and kind of, even if I knew I was doing the right thing, all right? Even if I felt like I held the right position, and I knew that if I went back, I couldn't have said anything different, done anything different. I'm going to tell you, when I come away from those kind of situations, I just feel like my physical strength has been pulled out of me. And I would say that all of you would have some varying degrees of that. We think that it's pretty unusual for somebody to just be all charged up about barely escaping. All right? At least that's my perception. So we begin the ninth chapter. I doubt very seriously that in the original Greek there's any division here. And the ninth chapter begins and it says, and as Jesus passed by, the Greeks don't even use the word Jesus here because it's just a continuation of what had happened in the eighth chapter. So he says here, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. So here's the setting. Jesus, escaping through the crowd, hid himself, however this happened, but he just barely escaped some real serious consequences here for taking the stand, revealing the truth. It all got started because he came into the temple and began to teach the people, because he had a heart to help the people. He wasn't trying to overthrow the leadership or anything like that. He was just trying to help the common man. All right? So after that escalated into a major confrontation, Jesus was exiting the temple, I believe, and he passed by a man that had been blind all of his life. I'm going to tell you, when I would be in that state of discharge in my emotions, in my courage, in my feelings, it'd be hard for me to stop and take time for someone else. But Jesus did. Jesus seen the man, and his disciples began to ask him about it. And after he had told them that, you know, it's not because this man has sinned, it's not because his parents, but there's an opportunity here for the power of God to be manifested in this man's behalf. So after he had said these words in the sixth verse, he says that when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And then we know the hubbub that started. The neighbors and the people that knew him, they begin to question, is this really the man that we've known all of his life that's been blind as a child and he couldn't see? Is it really like him, or is it really him, or is it somebody that just looks like him? And they come to the conclusion it really was him. And then they begin to ask him, how did you, what happened that you could see? And 13th verse, and they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So this was on the Sabbath that Jesus had been in the temple. He had started out trying to teach the people, got into this confrontation with the Pharisees, and then when he was in this state of emotional discharge and stress, escaping barely with his physical life, he seen this man, had compassion on him, told his disciples, the main reason this whole thing is developed here is so that you can witness the power of God. So they brought the man that had been, it all happened on the Sabbath day. Alright? So then, 15th verse, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight, and he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Pretty simple. You know, I just followed the instructions, and now I can see. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there is a division, there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, why sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. What sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. I don't know what else to say. He'd have to be a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them, saying, and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. So he wasn't a child, he was an adult. I don't know if that meant he was 21 or 40, I don't know, but he was an adult. He says, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know. He said, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I will tell you, every time I read this passage, it's like, it is so simple, and yet it is so dramatic. I don't know. I just know that I was blind, and now I see. All your accusations about who Jesus was and what he is not and all of those things, I don't know. I don't have the understanding, or I can't really explain how this all happened. I just know that I have never seen in my life before, and now I do. So he says, I really, really like the wording he said when he said that. He said, then say they unto him, what did he do? What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Now he begins to almost take charge of the situation. He came from a very humble, not expert position, and now he says, wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? If I tell you again, would you... Would you become his disciple? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now he's reasoning with them. He says, we know God don't hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Pretty logical here, right? He says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? So since the beginning of time, there's been some blind people, but there's never been a man that's been able to open blind eyes. That's a fact, right? And I think they had to agree. He said, if this man were not of God, that's the man that opened his eyes, I believe, that's speaking. He says, he could do nothing. Then answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? You don't have no authority to teach us anything. And they cast him out. So, what's this all mean for us today? You know, I'm very thankful that I wasn't born blind. I'm thankful that for the majority of my life I've had very good eyesight. And it's only in the recent years that I have to have something to help me read the fine print. And I'm very thankful for sight. And I'm thankful that we have a God that's able to open blind eyes. Physical blind eyes. But I think about the things that we are all born with. We are all born with spiritual blindness. We are all born that way. We're born in a depraved, unregenerated state. And we may have some other baggage that we bring in. And we may accumulate some affliction in our spirits and in our souls. But we've all been in this state where the blind man was. And we know that Jesus, no matter how overloaded he would appear to be with all of the cares of the world, you know, when he died on the cross, he felt the weight of the sins of the world. It was a crushing weight to him. And it would, there's no way we could even come close to feeling that or standing up under it. But it doesn't matter what our blindness is, whether it's a spiritual blindness or if it's an understanding or whatever it is, I believe that Jesus has got time for us. Whatever our problem is, no matter that he just barely escaped the situation that he was in, he had time not only for the blind man, but for his disciples to see the power of God manifested. And I believe today, whatever our needs are, whatever you're struggling with, whether it's unbelief, whether it's whatever it is, it may be something that the enemy has imposed on, you know, the enemy imposes spiritual blindness on all of us. And he gained that right because our ancestors, Adam and Eve, gave him that opportunity. And the enemy imposes darkness on every one of us. He imposes anything he can that's like himself. He would like to wedge in feelings of animosity and feelings of envy and jealousy and hatred and malice and all of those kind of things he would like to get into our hearts and lives and cause a real issue. But right in the, whatever our problems are, I want you to know that Jesus has got time for us. And this man, he said, I don't know how it happened. And you know, we can do a lot of reasoning with ourselves. Have you ever tried to figure out how to overcome something yourself? I have. I've never been very successful. I just struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, trying to think of all the ins and outs and all of those things. I want to tell you, the only true success is being able to bring our troubles to the Lord, whatever they are. Whether it's blindness, whatever spiritual hang-up we have, we can bring them to the Lord. He's got time for us, and He's got the capabilities. And I don't know what kind of eye salve, per se, He's going to rub on you. He may have something for us to do. He had something for the blind man to do. When He touched him, He made some mud out of his saliva and the dirt, and He put it on him, and He said, "Now go wash it off." And some of the things that we look on that, and why would you put dirt on eyes anyway? That don't seem very logical to me as a man, because I don't like dirt to get in my eye. And then He said, "Go wash it off." You know, there are going to be times that the Lord asks us, we may be struggling with some feelings or struggling with some attitudes, and the Lord says, "Here's what you ought to do." And our mind says, "That don't make any sense. That won't do any good." Everybody knows that putting mud on my eyes and then washing it off, what if He had just said, "I'm not going to the pool of Siloam. I'm going to the nearest water hole I can and get this stuff off of my face"? You think He had received His sight? I think He had to be obedient. You know, no matter, take old Naaman that went down to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He thought that was completely absurd, didn't he? And he had a major problem. You ever have a major problem in your life? You know, our major problems can be real physical things, and they can be things like somebody don't like us anymore. It can be like, all I want to do is be accepted by somebody, and they won't accept me. They won't approve of me. And it can be a major issue in our life. And the Lord may ask us to do something like dip in the river 7 times or wash some mud made of saliva and dust off of our eyes in a specific place. I'm thankful that the man was obedient. And I'm thankful that he caught a hold of the clarity of, I don't know what your perspective of Jesus is. And you know, many times people looking on say they don't feel like we're approaching things from a very intelligent perspective, because we're putting our hope in something that they don't feel like is provable. It's kind of like us knowing the Lord in our hearts. It's hard to convince somebody else that He lives in our hearts, but we know it because we experience it, right? And it's pretty simple and straightforward when we follow God's leadings and say, "Lord, if that's really what You want me to do, I'll do it." And we can be astounded at the results. This man was, and he wasn't ashamed to tell. He said, "I just know that I used to be blind, been blind all my life. And now I can see." You can call him a sinner if you want to, but I'm going to tell you, that's not what this. It says that we know that God don't hear sinners. That's what it said up there. He began to reason with them, but if you're obedient to God, God listens to you. God hears your request. And he said, there's no man that ever, you know, there's a lot of issues we can have that, no matter where we turn to in man's understanding, it won't really be resolved. They got some band-aids out there, and they got some crutches for us, but they don't really have a solution. But I believe Jesus does. So we go on and read a little more in the 35th verse, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? This man was not some expert. He had a sincere heart. I think the verse that says, how's it go? It's accepted for what a man hath and not what he hath not. I've probably butchered that up. But this man, he was very sincere. He was very interested in doing the right thing. And he said, Lord, who is he? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that it talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believed. I believe. I know what happened, and I believe. You have to be in touch with the God of all creation. You have to be Him. You have to be the Son of God. No one else could have done this. And he said unto him, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Here's the judgment. Jesus came not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. Jesus came to heal the blind eyes, or whatever your problems are. He came to do that. And he didn't come to be an accessory to man's understanding. He came to give us understanding. And many times, somebody that has a lot of wisdom, and I'm thankful for all the wisdom that we can accumulate, but many times, if we have a lot of wisdom, we want God to fit in our wisdom portfolio somewhere. It needs to fit in there somewhere for us to really embrace it all. And I'm going to tell you, it's simpler than that. I just know that I used to be blind. And now I can see. You can make whatever accusations you want to about the Lord. I just know I used to have turmoil and unrest. I used to feel distraught. I used to be angry at my siblings or at my spouse or all of that thing. And I know that now it's gone. I don't know exactly how it happened. You can tell me that I'm a nut job if you want to. That I'm crazy, but I want to tell you that there's peace in my heart now, and it can't come by some other means. I know God is the only one that can give that to a person. So he says here, and some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? So they begin to get a little bit of the picture here. It was more than just physical blindness that Jesus came for. There was some Pharisees around. Everywhere you go, there was Pharisees. That means there was a bunch of them, okay? Everywhere you read about Jesus' interaction with the common people, there was Pharisees that cropped up. I don't think it was the same ones necessarily. It was just there were a big majority of the populace was Pharisees. So he said here, it says here, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? They begin to get a little bit of glimpse that maybe he was talking about spiritual blindness too. And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. What were they saying? Moses' disciples, isn't that what they said? 28th verse. Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We're following the law plus some. We're following the traditions and what God said. We're being careful that we don't violate some little bitty discrepancy. And so we know where we're going. We can see the way. And Jesus said, "Ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth." You're saying that you've got it all figured out. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I have it all figured out. I'm thankful for the understanding I've got. And I'm thankful that when I came to the place personally, this is my personal testimony, when I came to the place that I realized without God, I was going to be lost and undone. And I was going down a path of destruction. When I came to that place, and He spoke peace to my heart, and He forgave me of my attitudes and the direction I was going, there was something that happened that somebody that doesn't want to believe it and doesn't want to see it is not going to see it. They're going to be blind. But I want us to get a hold of the little thought in these verses this morning that this man that was so obviously blind, everybody around him knew that he was blind. And when he came, Jesus took time for him. He says, I just know that now I see. I was blind and now I see. So I want you to know today, whatever it is that you keep coming up against. You ever have any of those things? You come up against something and you think, I'm gonna lick it this time, and you fail. And you come up against maybe it again and you don't handle it like, maybe it's how you react to somebody else, or maybe it's a temptation and you don't handle it. Just that's some blindness that I believe Jesus has got time to help you with. Whatever it is in your life that you see, keep bumping up against, and it just keeps you from having the real peace that you want. You may think, well, Jesus is too busy or too stressed out to help me with my issues. I'm going to tell you, it's like this blind man. We can bring it to Him. I believe He's got time for us. And when He fixes it for us, it's going to be like, I'm telling you, I used to be blind, but now I can see. So I want you to have the hope this morning. Whatever it is that your blindness is, the Lord's got sight for you. You pray for me.